Praise the Lord. So good to have everybody here tonight, and all of you that are watching by Facebook, we're so glad to have you join us. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock, and I know that the Lord is going to be speaking directly to you tonight because he's always in the midst of us, amen. We're two or three are gathered together in his name. He is in the midst, and when Jesus is in the midst, he's going to be doing stuff, amen. There's going to be something going on in the spirit realm. So I'm ready to receive what God has for me tonight. Amen. And I pray that you have something for, that you're ready for God to give, minister something to you tonight, amen. Amen. And isn't God good? Amen. He is so good. And you know, God has not changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God tonight. So I want you to remember that. Remember the love that he has for you, that nothing will separate you from his love. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise tonight. Okay, and I think Patty's about ready to Patty Richard is going to be giving the word tonight, and she's always on fire, so I know, just be ready to receive what God is going to minister to you through Patty tonight, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, you got anything?
Well.
Patty's having a little difficulty with her microphone, so I'm just giving it over to Pastor because I've said all I know to say. Amen. Here she comes. Let's give her a hand clap tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have difficulty with more than mine. Okay. Hallelujah. Ooh, this is a challenge. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed?
Yes.
I speak shalom to you. Shalom. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. It keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We'll give the Lord another shout.
Hallelujah.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and pray that I'll say something that will bless somebody. Father, I thank you so much for this time to be in your house. We just love and praise you, and we thank you that we can gather together and that your spirit is here with us, Lord. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory, God, your goodness and your favor. And Lord, I just asked you to help me to decrease so that you might increase. Lord, fill this place up with your presence, with what you want to say and how you want to say it. Use me for your glory, God, and help me just disappear in this place so that your people hear you. And I thank you for that. I ask it with all my heart in the name of Jesus, and I give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Our lesson is, I'm going to talk to you about the glory of God tonight. And talking about this, I see that I don't know a whole lot about the glory. And I'm not being derogatory about myself. I'm just telling you there's a lot more to the glory than I ever realized until I started looking at these scriptures about the glory. And so God is so good that when we come into this place, he enters in with us. And to me, that's part of his glory. I looked up some definitions. In Vine's Expository Dictionary, it says the word glory is used of the nature and acts of God in self-manifestation, what he essentially is and does as exhibited in whatever way he reveals himself, and particularly in the person of Christ. Now, at the wedding of Cana, Christ, who is the manifest glory of God, he exhibited the glory of God when he turned the water into wine. And I just want to read those scriptures to you. That's in John 2, 1 through 12. And I'm reading from the book. It's another form of the Bible. And all of us know this, but I just want to read some scriptures tonight. 2 days later, Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus and his disciples were invited also. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, and Jesus' mother came to him with a problem. He says, "I can't help you now. It isn't my time yet for miracles." But his mother, God bless mothers, told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." 6 stone water pots were standing there, and they were used for the Jewish ceremonial purposes. And they held perhaps 20 to 30 gallons each. Then Jesus told the servants to fill them to the brim with water. When this was done, he said, "Dip some of it out and take it to the master of ceremonies." When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants did, he called the bridegroom over. He said, "This is wonderful stuff. You're different from most. Usually the host uses the best wine first, and afterwards, when everyone is full and doesn't care what he brings out, the less expensive brands, but you kept the best for last." This miracle at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first public demonstration of his heaven-sent power. And his disciples believed that he really was the Messiah. And after the wedding, he left Capernaum for a few days with his mother, brothers, and disciples. But this miracle that Jesus performed was an act of God's glory moving through him, and so the people could see the glory of God. They probably didn't know they were seeing the glory of God. They probably didn't realize what was going on, but they knew something miraculous had taken place, and they did glorify God. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he displayed the glory of God. And this story is in John 11, 1 through 4. "Do you remember Mary, who poured the costly perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair? Well, her brother Lazarus, who lived in Bethany with Mary and her sister Martha, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, 'Sir, your good friend is very, very sick.' But when Jesus heard about it, he said," now listen to this, y'all, "'the purpose of his illness is not death, but for the glory of God. I, the Son of God, will receive glory from this situation.'" And then we go down to 38 through 44 in the same chapter. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. "Some people said, 'This fellow healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying?' But again, Jesus," he was kind of aggravated with this, "and they came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a heavy stone rolled across its door. 'Roll the stone aside,' Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, 'By now the smell will be terrible, for he's been dead for 4 days.' And Jesus said to her, 'Didn't I tell you that you would see a wonderful miracle from God if you would believe?' So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, of course, but I said it because of all the people standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me.'" Lost my place. "And then he shouted, 'Lazarus, come out.' And Lazarus came, bound up in the grave cloth. His face was muffled in a head swath." I guess that's something they just had wrapped around him. "And Jesus told him, 'Unwrap him and let him go.'" And this was another form of the glory of God manifest through Jesus Christ. Did you know we are to be like Jesus? Okay. I heard one yes. Hallelujah. Somebody said yes. Well, we're to be like Jesus, and if we're like Jesus, then the glory of God can manifest through us to others also. Vines also says that as the glory of God is the revelation and manifestation of all that he has and is, it is said of a self-revelation in which God manifests all the goodness that is his. Now, in these next few weeks coming up, Pastor has asked us to speak on the glory, goodness, and favor. So right here we see that the Bible is telling us, well, this is vines, but it lines up with the Bible, that God's glory is His goodness. He's showing His goodness to us when His glory manifests. Who's ever heard of Joshua Mills? I know a few have. He defines glory as this. He said it is the complete person of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, and is also the place of His heavenly abode. Where He is, heaven is. The glory is the goodness, there it is again, the fullness, the splendor, and the awareness of His manifest presence. Now, I know when we come in here, we know by the Word that when we gather together, two or more, that God's presence is with us. But we don't always see necessarily or feel the manifestation. And I mean, I know that because I've experienced that myself. But we do know that God does manifest Himself. And we're just not always as sensitive as we need to be. We've been here when we've heard a man that was praying in tongues and there was no man here during a prayer service. We've been here when we've heard angels singing with us. We've been here when we've heard instruments that were not up here that were playing with the praise and worship. That was God's glory manifesting. And some of us were blessed and got to see it. Not all of us see everything. I saw one or two things. Somebody else may have seen all. Somebody else may have just seen one thing. But God does manifest for us if we keep our minds focused on Him. Amen? Now I want to read something to you that I wrote down. Who knows Bill Johnson? Okay, let me find it here. Give me just a minute. Bear with me. Hallelujah, somebody praise the Lord. Surely I didn't lose this. Okay, Bill Johnson says that our zeal for God comes from God. It is just that we are mirroring back to Him the zeal that He has for us. So God's glory, we see Him in our hearts and minds, and we have this zeal that makes us want to praise Him, that makes us want to shout. Sometimes somebody will break out in a dance or they'll run around because of the power of God touching their hearts and lives, and they just have this zeal. Well, God already had that zeal for us, and that's what is happening. It is being mirrored back. Amen? And he said that in talking about John 15 and abiding in the vine. Now, this was, I thought, was funny, but it was good, okay? He said that you don't walk through a vineyard, you know I'm talking about, where they grow grapes and all, and they make wine from them and all. He said, when you walk through the vineyard, you don't hear the branches talking and saying, well, I declare I produce grapes. I decree that I bear grapes. The vine doesn't groan and travail and contend for grapes. It doesn't say, I confess grapes. If the vine stays connected, the grapes are natural. The fruit comes. These are some fruits that are result. There are some fruits that are a result of effort, and there are a result of connection. Stay connected, and we'll produce fruit. We're supposed to stay connected in the church, but we're supposed to stay connected to God. I can't seem to talk very well tonight, but hopefully you can understand my different language. All right. God reveals Himself to us in the glory. It is like heaven. Now, I'll say this. And our prayer should regularly be, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we're getting in the glory and we feel this presence of heaven and we know that it's the presence of heaven, it should be a result of our zeal for God, our hunger for God, and our pressing forward in God and our prayer life. And that is one prayer. And you know something, I'll tell you this. God has been bringing that particular prayer, the the Lord's Prayer up to me over and over lately. So I'm praying, Our Father who art in heaven, because I do want heaven on earth. And it is possible. If it were not possible, it wouldn't be put in the Scriptures just like that. So God is saying that we can have heaven here on earth. In fact, He wants us to have heaven here on earth. He doesn't want us to just wait till we get to in heaven to enjoy the benefits and the blessings and the glory of heaven. He wants it down here so the people that do not know Him will experience heaven for themselves and they'll change. Amen? Okay, let's see. And that was that. Joshua also has a, Okay. Here's another thing. Tracy Cook, he's a prophet. I think so much of him. And he was saying that in these next few months, you know, the prediction over the, he is the person that talked about coronavirus before it ever hit, before it was ever made manifest, before the news ever got a hold of it. And he is saying that there is a wave of glory coming at the end of this year. The last 2 months of this year, there's a wave of glory coming. We just need to expect it. If it doesn't sound real when I say it, just shake it off and say, I'm going to receive it. Because this is a prophet, and if we can receive the word of the prophet, we can receive the prophet's reward. Okay? So he also says that the first 7 months of 2021 and the latter part of 2021 and the first 2 months of 2022, it's like a wave coming over the entire land, and it will clean and purify and bring us to the heart of God. So we need to be expectant of the glory. Amen? If we're expecting something, then God can honor that. But if we don't believe what He says, then why would He feel the need to do anything for us? Because He said we need to act on our faith. And that's faith. If we're expecting, we're operating in faith. Now, Joshua Mills also had another couple of definitions that I want to read to you. His definition for atmosphere. Now, we always talk about setting the atmosphere when we do praise and worship. He said it is a surrounding or a pervading mood, environment, or influence. When I speak of creating, maintaining, or occupying an atmosphere, it means to spiritually cultivate the environment so that it is conducive for the influence of heaven to affect our spirit, soul, and physical well-being. So if praise and worship can set the atmosphere, if we come together in one mind and one accord, and our goal is to glorify God, and we do set the atmosphere, it causes the Spirit of the Lord to be able to move freely. You know, He's not bound up and He says, well, this one over here don't want to hear nothing from me tonight, and I'm just not going to speak to them. And that one over there, they're about, I don't know where their mind is, but He wants us to have our thoughts and minds on Him. I know we get tired. It's true. I get tired. I don't hear everything Pastor says every time. Should I? Okay, I'm just being for real, okay? I'm just being for real. But if my mind is focused, quit smiling, Ish. Ish knows. If my mind is focused, and I'm hearing what they're saying, most of the time I can receive from it. I mean, we can sit here and hear things sometimes that we don't understand, but our pastors break things down pretty good. And God is, He's extravagant, but He does things in a way that we can understand them, and He keeps it simple. If He didn't, I wouldn't know the first thing. So we want to set the atmosphere. And it's not just for praise and worship for us up there. It's for you down here receiving and drawing off praise and worship, participating, lifting your hands, saying amen, and shouting to the Lord. You know, it makes a difference. And I just got a few different scriptures I'm going to read to you tonight. This is from the Passion translation is Isaiah 59 and 19. From the west to the lands of the rising sun, the glory and the name of Yahweh will be held in highest reverence. For he will break in as a flooding, rushing river driven on the breath of Yahweh. He will break in on his own breath. He will speak and things will change. There is a scripture, and I do not know where it is. Pastor might know it, but it's in just a moment things can change. Circumstances can change. We could be going through the worst thing that we've ever faced, but when God moves in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as quick as God could blink an eye, things have changed because God loves us. He hears our prayers, and he's willing to move on our behalf. That's his glory. That's amen. Right. It's his glory. We just don't realize sometimes that a lot of things are his glory. I know when I first came here, and I've been blessed to be in several very good churches where I learned and I'd grow in this area, and then the Lord would have me move, and he would put me in another position in another church, and I'd learn something else. And everything was not always the icing on the cake. It was not always the best feeling that I had, but I realized every time when I look back, I could see where I learned something from these different places. So God had me all the time, even when I didn't know he had me. Even when I thought, oh, you're falling on your face. You have messed up beyond measure, and God can't even speak to you. He was speaking, and he was helping, and he was healing. And he's always like that with all of us. That's we just right. don't recognize it. Right. But we need to acknowledge that. Amen? Say this with me. God always looks out for me. God always has my best interest on his mind. Amen. Isaiah 60:1 says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. This is the Amplified. Be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. Okay, y'all, it sounds to me like the glory's here. Amen. I know I've been hearing that. We've had it out on our little poster board things. But the glory really is here. We just don't always acknowledge God like we're supposed to.
That's right.
2 Peter 1:3 in the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic and spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now we know that mercy and grace saved us, but he was calling us by his glory. His glory is always involved. When he shows up, there's some glory around somewhere. Okay, that same scripture from the Passion. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation, I love this, of his goodness. There we're connecting goodness and glory again. There was more to that. No, that's something else. Sorry. Scratch that. Let's see. Isaiah 40:5 in the Amplified. And the glory and majesty and splendor of the Lord will be revealed, and all humanity shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In the Passion it says, then Yahweh's radiant glory will be unveiled, and all humanity will experience it together. Believe it, for Yahweh has spoken his decree. And we know the scripture about if you decree a thing, it shall be established unto you. Well, when God says something, it is what it is. And I do have quite a few scriptures. And we're just talking about the glory. When I kind of got off track. When I first come here, I didn't know anyone. I did know Pastor Rock because he was a real estate agent at that time. And I had become acquainted with him just a little bit. And I knew he had a church, but hadn't been into it yet. And when I felt the Lord moving me from my other church, I told my son, my oldest son Shane, I said, well, I just don't know what to do now. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. He said, Mom, why don't you go over to Rock's church? And that's how I ended up here over 18 years ago, about 18 years ago, right about that time. And but when I first come in, I know there was Bonnie and there was Miss Katie. Many of you don't know Miss Katie because she's went on to be with the Lord. But when she was here, I mean, she would do things for me because I was a single mother at the time. And she was always saying, do you need anything? And they had the food ministry, and she was always trying to make sure that I had what I needed. That was God's glory being manifest to me, for me, through someone in the church who was acting like Jesus, and the glory was manifesting. That's right. Amen? That's right. And I remember Miss Pauline made me feel very welcome. And like I said, Bonnie made me feel welcome. To me, even though it might not look like it to you, to me, it was the glory. It was God's goodness using people to help me come in and feel welcome and comfortable so I could find my place. And in Romans 9:23 it says, and what if he has done so to make known the riches of his glory to the objects of his mercy, that's us, which he prepared beforehand for glory, passion. And doesn't he also have the right to release the revelation of the wealth of his glory to his vessels of mercy, whom God prepared beforehand to receive his glory? He had it all planned out all a long time ago. He already knew what he was going to do. And he says he releases the revelation of wealth of his glory to his vessels of mercy. Sounds like we need to be making sure we're merciful people. But that's his glory. Hebrews 1 and 3. The Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being the brilliant light of the divine. This is amplified. And the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, which is the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word, carrying the universe along to its predetermined goal, when he himself and no other had, by offering himself up on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, accomplished purification from sins and established our freedom from guilt, he sat down, revealing his completed work at the right hand of the majesty on high, revealing his divine authority. Now, that's lengthy and amplified, but I love it. It breaks it down real good. But you know, what it's saying is, when we call out to God, he'll answer us. Jeremiah 1:33 says he'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. But God's already done, he's laid the foundation and the work. We don't have to beg him to do things. It's done. We just need to exercise our faith when we pray. And if we will do that, God will move on our behalf. He's been doing some things for me and my family. And I know I've heard some testimonies that are just awesome from y'all, what God has been doing. Yeah, we're south, y'all. But God is good, and he's showing his goodness by letting us see some of his glory through his actions on our behalf. Amen? I'm not going to read that one. Let's see. Hebrews 1:3-6 in the Message. Going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. By Son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. The Son perfectly mirrors God. There's that word again, mirrors. Like we're the mirror of God's zeal. There, Jesus mirrors the Father and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what He says. Powerful words. When I think of that, it makes me think about the universe and how our the different planets spin in orbit, but yet the things on the planets don't fly off. And I do know there are asteroids and stuff like that, but here we're held down by gravity. We're held. God's holding us, y'all.
That's right.
There's that y'all again. He holds everything together by what He says. And then it goes on to say in verse 3 through 6, after He finished the sacrifice for sins, the Son took His honored place high in the heavens right alongside God, far higher than any angel in rank and rule. Did God ever say to an angel, "You're my Son, today I celebrate you," or "I'm His Father and He's my Son"? When He presents His honored Son to the world, He says, all angels must worship Him. Now we worship Him, we don't worship angels. We're thankful for Him. I thank God for the angels. They have saved me quite a few times. John 1 and 3, all amplified. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him, not even one thing was made that is come into being. That's His glory, y'all. From the Passion, and through His creative inspiration, this living expression made all things, for nothing has existence apart from Him. Nothing ever was, will be created without God. It's all God, y'all. And that's why we should decrease so He can increase. And when we do, He can do more for us than we ever imagined. And when we put others first, He'll do things for us that we didn't even ask Him to do, because He is outside the box. We don't need to put Him in the box, but we think inside the box sometimes. I know I do. I don't think I'm the only one, but I know I do. So if we can get our mind set on the way God thinks, show us His way, then we can have a more blessed life, and we can have heaven here on earth. I'm going to keep on with that scripture. He said to pray that, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now, I know everyone here praises God, okay? But He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think for one moment up in heaven there's any kind of chaos? Can't hear you. What about a pandemic up there? No pandemic in heaven. Sickness? Disease? Chaos? Strife? It's all mercy and love and kindness. And He says we can have that here. And so if we're not praying that, then we're the ones missing out. And those that are lost are missing out, because we need to manifest heaven here on earth by praying what God says and walking in mercy toward others and living a life and mirroring God like Jesus has, because we're supposed to be like Jesus. John 1 and 3, the footnote says to this translation and the Passion, all things happened because of Him, and nothing happened apart from Him. And the Aramaic says, everything was in His hand of power. That's His glory. And I'm coming to a close, but I ain't quite there yet. John 1 and 14 in the Amplified, the Word made flesh. And the Word, Christ, became flesh and lived among us. And we actually saw His glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of His kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. In God, we don't have to wonder, is this really true? You turn on the news, you don't know half the time if what they're saying is real or if somebody made up something. But in the Word of God and in God, everything He says is absolute and it's true. And we don't have to guess or wonder about it. The same scripture in the Passion says, "The glory of the one and only, overflowing with tender mercy and truth." And the Message says, "The one of a kind, glory like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." It's the glory. And remember, I talked to you about the wedding in Cana where he turned the water into wine. And we know that that was God's glory manifesting through Jesus. But let me ask you this. If the pastors, let's just say someone come up for prayer tonight that was sick, and pastors prayed for them and they were healed, would it be pastors healing them? It would be God manifesting His glory through them to that person, because God says He'll give His glory to no other. And they don't try to get the glory. They want to give God the glory, and they do. And I'm thankful for that. But we got to keep our eyes on the Lord and not think when something good happens, oh, I did this or they did that. No, it was God doing it. It's His goodness. Always goes back to God and His goodness and His glory. I think I'm just about done. I know that since I've been here, God has showed me His goodness, because I get to be used, which is an honor. And I do get nervous, even doing praise and worship, and I've been doing it for a pretty good while now, and I still get nervous sometimes. And I really get nervous when I do this. But God is so good that He's given me a place. And He's given me a praise and worship team that I can honestly say in the face of God and everybody here that I love each and every one on the praise and worship team with all my heart. They are a blessing to me. They beat themselves up sometimes, don't think they did good, when I'm thinking, that was great. That was great. You showed up. You praised God. You did what you could do, the best you knew how. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm very thankful for our pastors. And I think I'm going to leave you with something funny tonight, if I can get it straight. First of all, though, I want to say, let's start praying that prayer. I didn't even look it up. That's one I did happen to know by heart. I know that one. God, thank you. There's several scriptures that I've tried to learn. I've tried to learn Psalm 91. I know most of it, but every time I quote it, it looks like I get some of it twisted up, and I think, oh. And then if I stop, it's like, now I got to start back over to figure out what this part was. And I do that with some scriptures, but some things I do remember quite well, and that's one of them. But I think that if we will start praying that, we'll see a difference in the earth and in the church and in ourselves, in our own home lives, because God told us to do that. That was one of the prayers that Jesus wanted the disciples to learn to pray. So let's start doing that. Can we do that? Let's just do that right now. I'm going to say a line and you repeat it after me. Is that okay with everybody?
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be Thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I'll leave you with this. There was a man. He went into a sports bar, and he sat down beside an attractive blonde woman. And the news was on TV. I hope nobody's heard already. Too bad if you had. The news was on TV, and her and him got to talking, and it showed this man up on a building, and he was about to jump off, and the news was following this story. And so the woman said, the man said, I'll bet you he jumps. And the woman said, I bet you he doesn't. And so they watched the news, and while they're watching it, the man does jump. And so she pulls out, they had bet $20, so she pulls out the $20 that she has, and she says, here, you won the bet, here's your $20. He said, ma'am, I can't take that money from you. He said, I saw this broadcast earlier, and I already knew that he jumped. She said, well, I did too. I watched it too. I just didn't think he'd do it again. Be blessed.